This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Tuesday. We are live in West Palm Beach. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Again, big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Go to Exclusive Furniture to get all your man cave needs like we have here. Go to Academy Sports and Outdoors to get all your Astros gear and get ready for the season. We thank them for sending us here to West Palm Beach to cover baseball all week long for you. Speaking of baseball, let's check in. Alex Bregman drama, we touched on that a few times last week. Bregman's not causing any of it, aside from being really good at baseball, being good at playing third base, hit a home run over the weekend in his first spring training game as a member of the Boston Red Sox. Harold Reynolds of MLB.com, though, says the Red Sox, because of all the potential position shuffling or Rafael Devers being dug in at playing third base poorly, I might add, that the Red Sox have a problem.
They got a problem. They got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because you can't sit there and say, Bregman's going to play second, and he hasn't played there. You just don't. He's got to get the reps. Double plays. The last time he played second base, there was shifts. Rafi Devers is too young. He's too good of a defender, and the numbers are ugly, but he can still catch the ball.
Well, and part of the problem, too, is what are you going to do with Casas then?
They got a problem. And I think they're better with Bregman at second than they are with Bregman at third.
Okay, so and we should point out Harold Reynolds was a second baseman when he played in MLB.
Yeah.
So he comes at it from a first-person perspective of what goes into playing the position. And, yeah, he's probably right. He probably does need to get some time over there at some point.
Now, he's saying, but he feels that they're better with Bregman at second.
Yes.
Is it simply because Devers – I guess it's not as simple, especially because without the shift, it's not like you're just – second base isn't just short outfield anymore the way it was during the era of the shift
where guys
were just kind of like it was a lot easier. You're aligned deep as hell, and the guys on the left side did most of the work. So is his argument that, all right, Devers going over to second, it's not as simple as him just going over and
Bregman, you mean?
No, I'm saying is his argument that, okay, why bother moving Devers? Because it's not guaranteed that he's going to be good at second either, where Bregman could handle second better.
I think I
don't understand his argument. Why is he saying that they're better with Bregman at second if Bregman's a better third baseman? Base is still a more important position.
Yeah, I think because they haven't even tried Bregman there yet.
Yeah,
you know they're still working him in at third base, I guess. Yeah, I'm with you. Like now that I hear that audio there, like I'm trying to figure out where the problem is.
Yeah, I didn't understand his argument unless he just misspoke.
Yeah. It sounds like he thinks Devers is a little better at third base than the rest of baseball does.
The stats aren't great, but that he's all right. I'm not finding many people that are saying Devers is a good third baseman.
No. So, If I had to guess, Bregman's going to wind up playing second base up there in Boston. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's shift gears for a little bit, get over to the Texans. We'll do a mock draft injection a little bit later on this hour. Drew Doherty's done his roundup here, Seth, of the what all the experts are saying the Texans are going to do.
Yep.
In the draft. And this is as split as I can remember one being in a while. I think, you know, a couple of years ago, last year they didn't have a first-round pick for most of the draft season. They made that trade with Minnesota, so they were picking 42nd. And so there was obviously, the lower you go in the draft, there's way more splits. In 2 years ago, it was basically quarterback or not a quarterback, that kind of thing. This one's kind of all over the place, and they've got three different players, each playing a different position, tied for being mock drafted to the Texans the most. Drew, for those who don't know what this exercise is, Drew Doherty, he's with the Texans, does a lot of stuff for the Texans on the media side of things. He does a roundup of mock drafts out there. And the first roundup, there were 24. There's obviously more guys putting mock drafts out there now that we're at the combine and we're getting closer to it. So he's got 37, what he would say would be respected mock drafts out there. Tyler Booker, guard. Emeka Ogbuka, wide receiver. Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle. Are all tied for first right now. They're each getting drafted to the Texans five times.
And this is what's interesting. So usually with these things that Drew does, the names and all these mock drafts, you know, it's a crapshoot. But the position, the position that gets drafted the most tends to correlate pretty heavily with what the Texans actually do in the draft. So it's really interesting that Tyler Booker, a guard, Ogbuka, a wide receiver, and Kenneth Grant, a defensive tackle, all have the same number of selections, which I think most of us in the fan base feel like, yeah, wide receiver, interior offensive line, and defensive tackle are the positions you'd most like to see taken in the first round. The way it's playing out in the draft, this is a good thing for the Texans because at all of those positions, it feels like in the late first round on into the second round, there's really good talent and intriguing prospects available. So it feels right now like it might be one of those years where Nick doesn't feel a need to move out of 25. If anything, I would think he might end up moving back, which I want a first-round pick. There's no actual rational or intelligent reason for me to want a first-round pick other than I like having first-round picks. It's a lot of fun on draft night. I don't like going to bed hungry on draft night.
You could still move back and stay in the first round. That's
right,
a possibility.
Right. But I don't want to – if he moves out of the first round.
I'm with you on that one. It would be fun. That last year wasn't as fun.
Yeah.
Now they did wind up with Kamari Lassiter. That was fun.
Oh, yeah,
I like that.
But it's delayed gratification.
No, I know.
I don't do so good with that.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, there's something. It's something bigger about hearing Goodell announce your pick, you know, like in the first round. It's three different positions. Each three guys, three different positions. Do you find yourself being more, as you're looking, let's pretend they stay at 25.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself more specific to position group or actual player?
Okay. A lot of it depends on what they do in free agency. That's a big part that we don't know right now.
If they
go out and I don't know whether they re-sign Stephon Diggs or pick up Cooper Kupp or go after somebody. Chris Godwin is not going to happen, but something like that would be super exciting. If you feel good about the depth at wide receiver, then you start to focus more towards interior offensive line or defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this just depends on what happens in March in free agency.
That makes sense. Do you think the mockers are getting it right now with the guys they have here? Like, do you, Tyler Booker, Kenneth Grant? I feel like of those three guys, Booker, Ogbuka, Grant, the one that has the best chance of still being there when the Texans pick, just based on which way the wind's kind of blowing right now with all these guys, is Ogbuka.
Kenneth Grant, I think, is going to test really well at the combine.
Yeah.
And he weighs 340 pounds but moves like he's 305.
That's Thursday, I think, is when the defensive linemen go.
So if he goes off at the combine, I think he gets vaulted up into the top half of the draft.
Would you trade up for Kenneth Grant?
I wouldn't trade up for him,
no.
I like him a lot. I like a lot, but there's a lot of guys. Like if like Tyler Booker, Kenneth Grant, multiple other guys, they can't all go higher than expected. So yeah. I think there's going to be somebody there at 25 that I like.
Gray Zabel.
But you're going to say Tyler Booker is the other one that you think probably ends up going higher.
Yeah, I think Booker and Gray. If I had to guess, let's put the over under at 25. Yeah. I would take under on Booker as far as the draft slot that they go. I would go. I think Booker will be gone. I think Grant will be gone. I think Ibaka. I would take under on Ibaka too. I think Ibaka will be gone, but I think he's got the best chance of still being there.
Ibaka seems to be the one that, if I could sense, just at least on my social media feed, that I see the most people kind of skeptical about. And part of it is that he doesn't jump off the film athletically the way some guys, like other wide receivers like Matthew Golden or Luther Burden, do, but he's just more refined, and I think he's got more of a NFL ready feel to him in terms of the mental side of things and the polish side of things.
Yeah.
But when you start thinking about upside, especially at pick 25 or in the second round, people fall in love with traits, and I'm one of them. I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah.
I try to only watch highlights this time of year.
Ibaka's the girlfriend that remembers when your birthday is and cooks you a nice dinner. Matthew Golden and Luther Burden, they're a little freakier, you know?
Matthew Golden is hanging out with Steve Smith Sr. a lot.
That's extreme.
Well, yeah. Like if you're taking that analogy out, yeah.
That's true. Check his texts and see what's been discussed in there.
But it's exciting. According to Steve Smith, it sounded like she was really exciting. It
better be exciting for how he may have ruined his life.
Boy, man, this whole Steve Smith saga. Guys should carry it around. They should carry a transcript of those text conversations around in their phone, and with also a picture of Steve Smith's family.
Yeah.
And just remember, it's just it's not worth it, man.
That's it.
It's not worth it.
It's not
worth
it. Not.
It's just not.
It's really not.
But we're so good at thinking things through rationally, aren't we?
Men, you mean?
Yeah. Everybody.
Not Payne and Pendergast.
A bunch
just
of guys
men.
In the room. I was like, yes, Seth, I know. I know it's a dumb idea.
She's in the car with me right now.
You think I don't know this is dumb.
Oh, my God. That's
not the issue.
That's funny. Gray Zabel is next on the Drew Doherty Mock Roundup. Four Gray Zabel picks out of the 37 mock drafts, including
John Harris. John Harris loves him some Gray Zabel.
One of the most respected voices.
It's hard not to like Gray Zabel because I think he does all of these things as a guy from a smaller school that he had promise, and he showed up at the Senior Bowl and looked like he'd been competing in a Power 5 conference the entire time.
Yeah.
So I think the upside there is very real. There are a lot of intriguing interior offensive line prospects. I'm just really fascinated if Nick looks at Gray Zabel and still feels like I just need more sample sizes of him against guys at bigger schools.
Johnny Harris gets influenced by things he sees at either the combine or the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
In I think in a fun way. Like Johnny knows this. I don't know of anybody who watches more of his stuff than John Harris. His opinion, his opinion's been gospel to me since I was doing radio with him in 2007. I think it's funny just because when we had him on a couple weeks ago to talk about, I think we had him on from the Senior Bowl, he was coming home from the Senior Bowl, and he saw Gray Zabel there, and he was talking. He brought Gray Zabel's name up unprompted, and he said how Gray Zabel, during one of the drills, you know, where it's O-lineman against D-lineman, was like basically calling out a guy from Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Like, get in here. Let's go. You know, like, I remember when they drafted Damian Pierce. I was doing the draft show with Johnny when they drafted Damian Pierce. And Johnny went nuts on the Damian Pierce pick. And he said, you're going to love this guy. He was at the combine, and he walked over to the bench press in slides and sat down and banged out 25 and got up and left.
Yeah.
So that's why that's like when Johnny's got good Senior Bowl and combine stories, he likes those guys.
This is as we were talking about Nick and his preference for guys from bigger schools that have faced really good competition more regularly. The prime example of that working out so far was taking Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner.
Yes.
Derek Stingley had – and one thing Nick had talked about was it's not just his competition against SEC teams. It's the practice film of him going against Jamar Chase and all of those guys at LSU that you just, I think, feel better about it. You just
all
feel
of those
more
guys
substance.
Who were first or second round picks.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. No, it's a really good point. It's a really good point. Zabel next with four. Matthew Golden and Luther Burden, whose names you mentioned a minute ago, they're both three apiece.
Yeah.
And I think they are while Ibuka is getting mocked to the Texans a little bit more than both of those guys, their film pops.
I think the thing about Golden, too, and they're both, yeah, they're both very, very intriguing. I think Golden is, he's not as polished, and he needs to work on his route running, but it's one of those things where he's so twitchy and so athletic that he can get away with not being pristine in his route running. But he's competitive. He's very swarm. As Texas, I think Texas fans, I think most Longhorns would tell you that, yeah, he's very swarm-like. And he can do it at all three levels. He's been in an offense where he's had the ability to do more so than Luther Burden III. They've just kind of used Luther Burden differently than Matthew Golden. I'd be really happy with Matthew Golden.
Luther Burden III was used in the slot a ton. Yeah. At Mizzou. Yeah, Golden to me, in watching him for UT this year, whenever I watch him, I'm like, he looks like Tank Dell, like 3 inches
taller. Except he's bigger, yeah. And he plays all three positions, and he comes up big in big moments.
Yeah.
You know, like he makes contested catches in big moments. Yep. All those things that are don't show up in the stat sheet necessarily, he does all that.
We'll see what the mock draft says at 7:45 today. The last ad here on Drew Doherty's mock roundup for the Texans. 37 mock drafts, 27 of them have the Texans going offense instead of defense. That sounds right. I feel like if I had to guess, they're going to draft on offense this year between their extreme needs on the O-line and their extreme needs at wide receiver. O-line, 14 of the 37 picks are O-line picks. 8 of the 37 picks are D-line picks. Those are the leading position groups.
Oh, okay. So, are you going to die?
I have a cold. If anybody was wondering, there's no other way. Yeah, like I feel great, but I've got like a head cold.
Yeah.
So, am I going to die?
It's annoying me.
Yeah, I know. You want me to die right now. I'm just letting you know.
I think it's some survival thing where when somebody in the tribe is sick or something, you start thinking like, oh, this guy's a drain. This guy's going to be a drain on the strength of the tribe. Yeah. Ostracize him.
Yeah.
Get him out. So I'm fighting against that.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
I just want to be transparent.
To think that I'm bringing enough energy when I do talk, and I'm not coughing up phlegm.
Oh, you are. You are
not getting affected.
I'm just, in my primordial brain, there is a side of me that's wondering if I'm going to have to smother you with a pillow one of these nights.
Maybe.
So just be on
one of these hours.
Be on alert.
Yeah, no, I'm expecting it by 9 o'clock. All right, so that's the roundup on the mock draft. Man, this Matthew Stafford story is interesting to me. Are you surprised that the Rams and Matthew Stafford might be headed towards a divorce?
And that he wants $50 million per year?
I'm not surprised about that.
I kind of am. Yeah, I guess Matthew Stafford he's made the second most money in NFL history. He's made $364 million in 16 seasons.
Who's made the most?
Seasons.
Do you have the list in front
That's
of you?
One Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
He's made $381 million in his 20-year career. Yeah, there's a part of me that's like, all right, come on, Matt Stafford. It is what it is at this point. Sorry, Lopez. I know you hate that term. You made your money. You made a lot of money playing for the Detroit Lions, and it wasn't your fault that the Lions were the Lions at that point. But you've come and you've won a Super Bowl, and you still have your flashes of excellent quarterback play, but you're old now. Do the right thing. Play at a relative discount in your waning years for the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Rams are kind of open to it sounds like, of moving on from Matthew Stafford, that they're not digging. I mean, he's under contract. They redid his contract last year.
Yeah.
And now he wants $50 million a year. Here's Peter Schrager of the NFL Network of Good Morning Football saying exactly what we're talking about. Matt Stafford wants $50 million a year.
Matthew Stafford wants to be paid what he thinks he's worth. He wants to be paid more than $50 million. They've given the agent, Jimmy Sexton, one of the best agents in all of football, both college football with the coaches, and of course in the NFL with coaches and players, they've given him the freedom to go seek out what might be some teams that would be of interest and if those teams would pay him. And guess what? There are teams that are willing to pay him more than what the Rams are currently willing to pay him. The question is, does Stafford want to go to those teams? And what are those teams willing to give up? It's all very awkward because McVay and Stafford may end up together, and it's just like, well, that was water under the bridge. That was business. We got to keep the emotional side separate from the business side here. Truth of the matter is, Matthew Stafford was one pass away from playing an NFC Championship game at home against the Washington Commanders this year. That guy can still ball.
That guy can still ball.
Yeah.
Peter Schrager gets excited, man. Is he Texans' fun young team level excited?
I guess this is a part of it, is that Matthew Stafford knows that he isn't who he used to be, and yet he also knows that the Rams are going to have a hard time going out and getting somebody better than Matthew Stafford right now.
Yeah.
That's where if he's playing hardball and he genuinely wants that top dollar, I guess the flip side of it is, all right, man, if you want to go somewhere, any team that's willing to pay you $50 million per year is probably not a team that's right on the brink of who, tell me who they are.
Well, let's workshop it. Yeah. Peter Schrager says these are some places he might go.
You look at the teams and you look at the options for the Rams. Say you trade him to the Steelers. Are the Steelers willing to give a first or second round pick and pay Matthew Stafford $50+ million? And is Stafford willing to go play in Pittsburgh in the cold weather? And is Kelly and the four girls, are they going to want to go move out to Pittsburgh? How about the Giants? Giants, they're not giving up the third overall pick, but would they be willing to give up the 34th overall pick and pay him $55 million? If that's the case, does that make sense? The Raiders are an option. Who knows? You can go down the list.
I don't. It doesn't make. None of those teams make sense if you're Matthew Stafford.
Just, if you're Matthew Stafford.
Unless all you want is $50 million, and that's where I think this is just posturing and negotiating and trying to find a good deal.
If the Steelers had Matthew Stafford instead of Russell Wilson last year, they would have been a bigger threat.
Fell apart completely down the stretch, and it wasn't just the offense. I don't think he can realistically say that, oh, yeah, the Steelers, playing in cold weather, which he hasn't had to do. He played in the Dome in Detroit, and he's played in nice weather.
That's a very
in
good
L.A.
point.
As an older guy.
Yeah.
You go ahead, and I would show him, if I were the Rams, I'd be like, come on in. Well, let's watch some film. Here's Ben Roethlisberger a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that old man do up there in the cold? So, I don't know. I think he ends up with the Rams.
There's a lot of smoke around the Giants, and that just doesn't make any sense for either side to me.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to – what's the best you can expect to be? They have no weapons there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they – like, it's – again, he'd be outdoors. That's a point I've not heard anybody make until you made it.
Well, Schrager made it, so.
Oh, did he say it about the outside? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was too busy with him being focused on the wife and the kids.
And Jimmy Sexton.
Kelly,
he's one of the best agents in the business.
Kelly and the girls.
Kelly and the four kids.
They'll go where he goes. what's going to happen with Kelly and the girls? I'm like, he makes $50 million a year. Listen to yourself.
He has children.
Oh, my God.
How can he play for $35 million per year?
Yeah. The Steelers one is interesting to me just because I think they're above the line of being a good team. I know they're not a great team. They made the playoffs last year, which, you know, by definition makes you at least a competitive team in the NFL. That one was intriguing to me. The Raiders and the Giants, both super intriguing because I think they flame out spectacularly. I think Stafford would be, it would be as if he were back on the Lions again.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, I would put the chances of him leaving the Rams this year at 25%. I mean, if you look what the Rams have done, and this is one of the reasons that 17-year-old kid just got the GM job in Jacksonville. He was a director.
Talk about him.
He was the director of scouting. What's his name?
James Gladstone.
Gladstone.
Yeah.
That's a good villain name.
Villain face.
And he's not that young. He's 34. But one of the reasons he got that job was he was director of scouting for the Rams. And the Rams have done a really good job drafting in the last couple years.
Yeah.
Puka Nacua, Jared Verse, multiple other guys. And it does not feel like a team, as Peter Schrager pointed out, they were on the brink of going to the championship game last year. It's the best spot for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense for him. And I don't want to diminish like how much $10 or $15 million is. Sure, that's a lot of money. But that would just it would honestly annoy me. It would be a completely mercenary move.
Total cash
at the end of your career after you're the second highest paid person in the history of the NFL, despite not nearly being the second best player in the modern era. Don't overthink this or get overly greedy.
Well, especially if it comes from somewhere else, then he's like, chances are he's leaving to go to a worse place,
right,
to take the money.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to like, if the Rams just gave it to him.
Yeah, so which is why I think whatever he's doing right now is just posturing to not get hosed. He's not going to be a charity case for the Rams. He just wants to get a good
charity
contract.
Charity case.
Yeah.
He made $40 million last year. Charity case.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Boy, the list of guys who've made the most money, man. I'm just looking at this right here. Kirk Cousins, sixth.
I know. Russell Wilson is fifth. These are the ones. Who does not belong? Oh, boy, it's better to be a good business person than a
So these are the top 10 right here.
Yeah, I've got the top 10. Aaron Rodgers is first. Matthew Stafford is second.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers first. That fits.
Yeah.
You know, he's won four MVPs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matthew Stafford second.
Okay. Matt Stafford fits partly because remember the whole problem with Matt Stafford and the Lions was that for the first time in their life they drafted well over those couple years where all of a sudden everybody, Ndamukong Suh, Matthew Stafford,
Calvin Johnson,
those guys were all making, and their rookie contracts were under the old CBA.
Yes, that's
so they made a boatload of money right from the get go.
Right out of the chute. Yeah.
Matt Ryan being. Tom Brady's third.
That's fine.
Which is, and he played at a discount for many, many years.
Yes.
Matt Ryan at fourth. That's the first one where you're kind of like, huh.
That's a little bit.
Huh. All right.
Got to a Super Bowl, won an MVP, beloved in Atlanta.
Yeah. But
fourth.
Perennially more than just like, hey, had a couple of stud wide receivers for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, some of this is, these are just sheer
longevity.
Longevity. And the dollars are earned, you know, more recently than, say, some of the other guys.
Russell Wilson at fifth is, I'm torn on that one because he was so good on a really, really good team early in his career. But then was the subject of conversation for 10 years about whether it's him or the offensive coordinator or Pete Carroll's fault.
I can't get mad at – well, okay. Russell Wilson fifth is crazy when you think of how much of that money is going to have come from that Denver Broncos contract extension.
Yeah.
He'll probably have ended up making more money from that extension than he made in Seattle.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins at sixth is a mess.
I'm less insulted by Russell Wilson at five.
He's won a Super Bowl and gone to two, and yes.
Once you get to Cousins at six, Cousins just gamed the system, man. Happily took a couple franchise tags.
Yeah.
Got the first. I mean, if you're trying to pick one, which one of these guys is the most significant in terms of like the business side of things, Kirk Cousins, quarterback who happily played under franchise tags.
He's the best business person of all of them.
Got the first fully guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
Granted, it was only 3 years, but fully guaranteed. And then somehow with a torn Achilles, managed to get another $100 million guaranteed from Atlanta. Was benched by the end of the year.
Yeah, he pushed free agency the way that baseball players do, which is another thing. Russell Wilson has his agent's a baseball agent.
Yeah.
Like they treat it more, both those guys treated it more like baseball players do, which is like, okay, fine, whatever. Yep. Fine. You want a franchise tag me? Yeah, fine.
I think that Netflix series too. Quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quarterback helped Kirk Cousins.
Oh, you know, when it showed his toughness.
Well, his toughness, his studiousness, like how he got along with his teammates.
Yeah.
I guarantee you when Atlanta got out the checkbook to write him $100 million guaranteed, that there were people in that room that had seen that and said, oh, no, I watched this. This guy was an amazing teammate to all of his teammates there in Minnesota.
Grunting a lot, kids. That's one of the secrets to getting approval from football people.
Grunting a lot. Really,
make it look hard. You might be winning a wind sprint and not even be it might be easy for you. Put a grimace on your face.
Make it look hard.
People want to believe that you suffered for it, okay?
If you're in a cubicle, shuffle papers around a lot and look really frustrated.
Do the work. I'm not telling you to be lazy, but every now and then it's okay to let people know, like, oh, yeah, I'm really grinding. I got to put a hashtag on me.
Put a little sauce on it. I got zero problem with the next three just to round out the top ten. Drew Brees, 7. Roethlisberger, 8. Peyton Manning, 9. Peyton's probably too low, but a lot of his money was earned. Before, you know, some of these guys are still active, that kind of thing. Dak Prescott, 10th. My good personal close friend, Dak Prescott.
That's right.
10th.
You're drinking, buddy.
$247.6 million for Dak Prescott. For how many playoff wins? How many times he's gotten to the divisional round? One, maybe two? Dak Prescott? Most? I think he's won two playoff games, Dak. $247 million. That's good work, man, if you can get it. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. We are live in West Palm Beach. We are covering the Astros here for spring training. Weather is beautiful outside today, so I would suspect we are going to get baseball. Ronel Blanco on the mound for the Astros against the New York Mets. A couple other football things. We'll circle back to baseball here in a little bit. An unknown team is requesting a ban of the tush push.
Yes.
Right
now. Yes. Yes.
An unknown
and
team.
And listen, before you get angry at me, anybody, it's not for the reasons you think that I don't want the tush push. It's for a reason that's even worse than one you think.
What is it?
Okay, so some of the arguments the common arguments against the tush push are one, that it's just too successful. And the stats don't totally bear that out. Now, when it comes to the Eagles and the Bills, they've run it the most.
Yeah.
They've scored a touchdown or achieved a first down on 87% of their attempts using the play.
Okay.
While the rest of the NFL has been successful on 71% of their attempts.
Okay.
Like, they've been very, very good at it. But Sean McDermott, the coach of one of the teams that does it the most, the Bills, he says there are safety concerns with it, which is weird. So it feels like he's saying, like, oh, yeah, we're doing it, but it's kind of dangerous in some respects, and maybe they need to tweak it a little bit. I don't mind the safety concerns. I don't mind even the competitive side if people feel that it always works. I don't like it because it's a boring football play.
Yes.
It is an incredibly boring football play. And then when it's not – even when it's not successful, it's still boring because it doesn't feel – it's rare that you feel like, oh, somebody came up and made the crushing stop or anything. It's just one big scrum that moves at a centimeter's pace, and you can't even really track to see exactly if they're in or not. I hate it.
I'm with you on that too. That's the big thing to me. Like it's boring and stupid.
The Eagles versus the Commanders game was unwatchable on a goal line stand because they kept running it. The Commanders kept jumping off sides to try to stop it, and they kept moving it incrementally closer. They were down on like the 3-inch line, and they just would go down and move it a few centimeters and then move it again. It was so annoying.
Now, counterpoint to that.
Yeah.
We did get for me, what was new knowledge that referees could just award touchdowns.
Yeah, the ref teams. Came out. Was it Hockley Jr.?
It was Hockley Jr.
Hockley
yeah.
Jr. came out and said, if Washington jumps off sides again, we will award the touchdown
yeah.
to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Which, oh boy, I just. At that point, I was just wishing that it was the Chiefs doing it. Can you imagine if it was the Chiefs doing the tush push?
Well, yeah, the funny thing was all the memes while that game was going on of, like, the memes of, like, people taking notes and saying, like, Kansas City yeah. Chiefs went finding out you can get a touchdown.
But then, lo and behold, you get into that conference championship weekend. It was so annoying because you have the Bills that do the tush push a bunch. And it was a huge
part of that game.
Right, and it was unsuccessful, and they stuck with it. So that made it interesting, at least.
Yeah.
Because, meanwhile, James Cook's not getting any care. In the second half, they're doing a tush push and getting stuffed every single time.
Yep.
But it was just annoying. It's an annoying football play. I'm tired of it.
The speculation is it's the Packers
yeah.
who are the team, the mystery team, because their CEO, Mark Murphy, has been pretty outspoken about yeah. it, about the tush push. He called the tush push, quote, bad for the game after the Packers were eliminated by the Eagles. He wrote on the Packers website, there's no skill involved. It's almost an automatic first down on plays of a yard or less. I would like to see the league prohibit pushing or aiding the run, end quote.
Which used to be a rule for a long, long time.
Which they should go back to.
Yeah.
I hate that. The guys can just push their own guys.
I can't even remember the rationale for why they changed it, but it took a long time for the league to figure it out. Because nobody used this. And then teams started realizing, like, oh, wait a second. We've all been trained from the time we were in Pop Warner, you're not allowed to push a ball carrier
yeah.
if you're an offensive player.
Yep.
Why are we not doing this now that it's legal?
Yeah.
And thus was born the tush push.
The tush push, man. Yeah, the tush push. So yeah, I don't know if it's a package.
I think it might have been just it was maybe too hard to enforce, because there's times where – you know, you get to a first down or something where an offensive lineman is trying to knock a defender off, but he might be also pushing the ball carrier.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The tush push is pretty damn obvious.
Tush push, yeah.
You're shoving that quarterback.
It's silly, man. It's silly. Reminder to keep listening. We're going to be giving away some rodeo tickets here shortly. Zach Topp on March the 11th, so stay tuned for that. We got Mock Draft Injection coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes or so. We're live in West Palm Beach. Astros and Mets today, 12:05 Houston time. So, yeah, tush push was one. And then the other rule, possible changes to the kickoff rule coming. They
yeah.
talked about that the touchback. This was my prediction, too, is that until the only way that you're going to get more and more returns, regardless of how you line up, is – as the touchback gets more and more punitive, to you know, I thought the difference between kicking it out of the end zone for a 20 touchback at the 25 yard line for the kicking team and the 30 yard line was not a big enough difference, and for a lot of teams it wasn't. A lot of teams just opted to boom the ball out the back of the end zone and give it up at the 30. Talk is that they may move that to the 35 now.
So we get more action. Remember how ugly it was in the Hall of Fame game? Remember, I thought it was going to be a disaster because it was so ugly. It was scary. It did not look safe at all.
Guys didn't know what they were
on
doing.
On the safety side of things, it seems to have worked out. The NFL had the fewest concussions, I believe, since they started tracking it really seriously.
Yes.
So that was one of the improvements to it. I've grown to like it, even though I'm still a little bit confused by it. I almost just kind of just look away from the playoff. Part of it, too, the TV broadcast, they got to stop trying to get so cute with the punts and the kickoffs. That overhead cam does nothing for me.
Oh,
I can't. You can't
dude.
Really track or feel. It's disorienting. I get nauseous trying to watch it. And you can barely tell whether the guy's even gaining any ground or
that's
not.
The big, to me, that's the biggest disconnect right now between fans who watch games and people who are responsible for putting the broadcast together.
Yeah.
Is they think we want way more camera angles than we do.
Yeah.
That's not the case. I remember during the NCAA basketball tournament one year, they had a camera that was literally like on the ground where players check into the game there
yeah.
at the desk, like at center court. So you're getting this shot. It's like a upskirt shot. Like
yeah.
it's upshort shot. Yeah, like
you're kind of like it's like you're plopped down somewhere and you don't know where you are.
No, the regular angle is really good. That's a reason we've been using
yeah.
it for 75 years or whatever
yeah.
it is, you know? So yeah, the overhead angle.
And I feel like it's just a way they're trying to make special teams somehow interesting.
No.
It's not. You know, this is how you make special teams interesting. Just be sure the announcers start yelling when there's a good return so I know to look up from my phone and start watching.
Yeah.
Especially, I pretty much ignore all special teams until there's actually something big
happening.
Looking
at you, Al Michaels.
Give us a little. Takes it to the 35 and out of the 45.
Give us a little something, all
50.
Right?
You know, this reminds me of a time in 1957. Now, he scored a touchdown, by the way.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you. Are you a Hooters guy?
No. Well, I mean, what, the restaurant or the Hooters?
The restaurant.
Oh, okay. No.
See, I was back in the day.
I like the things, though.
I loved it. Yeah.
Well, I like Hooters in general.
Well, then you should go.
That.
Well, you can't anymore, but you would have loved the restaurant.
I can't. They're in bankruptcy.
They're not.
That doesn't mean that you can't go to a Hooters.
Well, they're closing a lot.
Oh, they are closing a lot.
Yeah, they closed several in Houston.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a sad day, man. Back when I was in that sweet spot of an age where you would go to Hooters all the time.
Yeah.
The age of our boss, Parker. Like, I was in the. Like, right in that sweet spot of around 30 or so. Like, that was – spent a lot of time at Hooters having some business lunches.
Yeah.
It was good,
that
man.
Was, you're a sales guy.
I was a sales guy. Like, you know how much business got done at Hooters?
Good time. Go get yourself a buffalo chicken sandwich and buy some telecommunications equipment.
I don't have – that's exactly right. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but what I've heard is that the most business is done on the New York Stock Exchange, second most the Chicago Board of Trade, third most all of the Hooters nationwide combined.
Yeah.
It's where most of the good business
gets
done.
But it stopped being that way as much as before Hooters came along, it was Beef O'Brady's.
And you should have seen the ladies walking around that one. I think what happened was like a few places came along and maybe just did it better, I guess.
There's a lot of competition.
Restaurant. Yeah. You know, we're big Twin Peaks outlet here at Sports Radio 610. They do that mode pretty well.
Yeah. So are they closing? So Twin Peaks drove out Hooters.
Possibly. I mean, they
closed a bunch of locations, but they're reorganizing.
They're trying
to. They're not dead as a company.
They're not dead yet.
This feels like Kmart was for a long time.
Another
great place to go look at some Hooters.
Yeah. Some good ones. Huh? Yeah. Girls of Kmart was one of the best Playboy issues every year.
Kmart was so depressing for the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
When they were getting driven out by Walmart and Target and everything.
Yeah.
Because you'd go in and like is this a flea market or is it a retail establishment?
You'd know, you'd be like, so the end is near, huh?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I admittedly have not been to Hooters in a while, but I will, if this is indeed heading towards where it looks. Weigh in on the text page. How are you feeling about
this? So for journalistic purposes, you feel like you have to.
Yeah.
Have to document it.
Yeah. Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns was pleading for Hooters not to go out of business. And again, he's in the sweet spot.
I feel like Hooters should have at some point just maybe updated the outfits a little bit.
Well, the pantyhose were always something that was a little, pantyhose underneath the orange shorts?
Are you like a secretary for my great uncle? What the hell are you? Yeah,
nothing beats a great pair of legs.
The pantyhose and then just the orange shorts and it just felt like this was fly in the 80s.
They opened – I was reading an article about this yesterday.
Yeah.
I read several articles about this because it meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
But apparently in some places they'd opened up like I forget what they call it. It was like Wings of Hooters or Wings of Hoots or something like that, where it was a more family-friendly version that had both like male and female servers normal outfits.
Oh, normal outfits?
Yeah. I'm like,
they didn't have like the man showing up as mammal toe or anything? Okay.
No, not that I know of. It didn't say in the article.
There needs to be a women's counterpart called Bulges.
I didn't
the Battle of the Bulge.
I didn't say in the article. All right, so just if it's RIP, it's RIP. But, man, Hooters, we had some good times together, man. Love the peanut butter cake. A good peanut butter cake.
Mm.
And wings. It was good. It was good. All right, mock draft injection. CBSSports.com's Garrett Podell. This one excites me. Who does he have the Texans taking? We will get to that coming up next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.